From South Bend, Indiana, Minneapolis, Minnesota, and New York City, New York, the National Broadcasting Company presents the College Quiz Bowl. Here again, transcribed, is the All-American Quiz Game, which pits against each other the varsity scholars of two great American colleges in the College Quiz Bowl. Tonight, we'll hear the University of Minnesota, Quiz Bowl winner for six consecutive weeks, on the air from Minneapolis to defend its title against the challenging varsity scholars of Notre Dame University, broadcasting from South Bend, Indiana. And here in Radio City, New York, is your master of the quiz, Alan Ludden.
Hello there, everybody. It's good to have you with us. We're ready to go with another intercollegiate battle of the brains. Tonight, Notre Dame tackles an assignment which has proved to be too much for Northwestern, Radcliffe, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Illinois, and NYU. They're out to beat Minnesota. And Notre Dame might do it. On the other hand, with six scalps already tucked under their belts, the Gophers are confident they can outfight the Fighting Irish. Well, we'll know the outcome in 30 minutes, but now, let's get out to the Minnesota team at Minnesota campus and meet the Minnesota team. With them to serve once again as the Minnesota referee is Ben Layton of station KSTP in Minneapolis. Are you there, Ben?
Right here, Alan, and all set to introduce the Minnesota team, which will be gunning for victory number 7. Here they are.
Tom Clayton, Winona, Minnesota.
Roger Feinstein, Pelham, New York.
Colleen Helgeson, Excelsior, Minnesota.
And Jack Davies, Coleraine, Minnesota.
Yay! Rah, rah! Go Birds!
Okay, and we've met the Minnesota team. Let's skip down to the Notre Dame campus in South Bend, where Charles Chan of NBC Chicago is on hand to act as referee for the Notre Dame team. How are you, Chan?
Well, Alan, I came out here with laryngitis, but I feel better since meeting these Notre Dame representatives in the Quiz Bowl. Somebody's got to wallop that Minnesota team, and here to introduce themselves are the Notre Dame students I think can do it.
Tom Calder, Worcester, Massachusetts.
Joe Imbriaco, Elizabeth, New Jersey.
Dave Burrell, Akron, Ohio.
And John Griffin, Salem, Massachusetts.
Go, Howard! Go, 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 go!
Okay, Howard Reed, we've met both teams. Now, before we get started, will you give us the rules in this battle of wits?
Right, Alan. Well, the quiz is set up to determine how much these varsity scholars know and how quickly they can call upon their knowledge. And so we have toss-up questions. This is the way they work. Alan Ludden asks a question, and the first team to signal it has the answer gets a chance to answer. When Notre Dame signals, you'll hear... When Minnesota signals, you'll hear... By means of a special electronic selector, the team which signals first, even by a split second, activates its light here on the board in front of Alan and makes it impossible for the other team's light to flash. Now, if the team winning a chance at the toss-up question gives a wrong answer, the question goes to the other team. And whichever team gives the right answer gets a bonus question. Each question is worth a designated number of points, and the team with the most points at the end of the game is the winner and returns next week to defend its title in the College Quiz Bowl. Well, that's the way the game is played, so let's play it.
Okay, and that's the opening whistle, and here's the first toss-up question. Before I read it, may I remind you that if you get a chance, if you win the toss-up, you'll get a chance at a 20-point bonus. All right, here is the first toss-up question. We're going to give you 10 points. If you can name the mythical kingdom in which horses were kings and yahoos were slaves. Notre Dame.
Dave Burrell.
Prester John.
Can you take it, Minnesota?
Yes. Tom Clayton.
Brob Dingnag.
I'm sorry, you were near Minnesota, but not right. It was from Gulliver's Travels, but it was from the mythical kingdom was the Winims. Remember the Winims? Supposed to pronounce it like you do a horse's whinny, I think. Okay, here's another toss-up question. See if you can get this. The 20-point bonus is still coming up. Tell us for 10 points. When is the next leap year? Minnesota.
Jack Davies has his hand up.
1956.
Right, Minnesota, and you win a chance now at a 20-point bonus. For 20 points, anybody on the Minnesota team, tell us, in the solar system, which planet is the furthest from both the sun and the earth?
Pluto.
Pluto. Everybody on the Minnesota team knows that. You're right for 20 points. Okay, coming up next is a 30-point bonus, so on your toes, Notre Dame, Minnesota. Here we go. Here's your toss-up. For 10 points, tell us, what poet wouldn't think of taking his girl out without bringing his lunch along? Oh, Nobody's going to take this? I'll take it. Omar Khayyam. A loaf of bread, a jug of wine, a dollar from the Rubian. Okay, here we go with another toss-up. On your toes. Dallas for 10 points. Why, the following numbers made headlines recently. 275 against 244. Minnesota.
Tom Clayton.
It was the vote by which the president's policy in France was approved. The vote of confidence.
That's right. Premier Lanier was given his vote of confidence by that. Okay. You have a chance now to 30-point bonus, Minnesota. Now, history and literature are full of allusions to brave men and gallant ships. Now, for 5 points each, you are to name the famous and, in some cases, infamous commanders of the following celebrated ships. You get 5 points each time. Let's go. Anybody on the Minnesota team, and let's go fast. Commander of the Half Moon.
Hudson.
Hudson.
Right. The commander of the Kane.
Of...
Oh. Captain Queeg. All right, the commander of Bonhomme.
We got that, didn't we? Roger said it.
Oh, did you hear it? I didn't hear it, and I was too late.
I said it just as you were saying.
Oh, okay. Mr. McGregor says okay. We'll accept it for 5 points. The Bonhomme Richard.
John Paul Jones.
Right, for 5 points. The Flying Enterprise.
Captain Carlson.
Kurt Carlson.
That's right, for 5 points. The Victory. The Victory.
Nelson.
Right, for 5 points. Almost. Man. The wooden shoe, which had three commanders.
Winking, blinking, and nod.
Right, for 5 points, Minnesota. Well, what do you know? Now, before we move along to another toss-up question, let's find out what the stakes are in this quiz game. Howard Quigg?
Well, each week, NBC will award to the school of the winning team a $500 gift to be administered by the college. It may go to a scholarship fund or to a campus activity. And each member of the losing team will receive an attractive, dependable Whitnor wristwatch, a distinguished member of the Longines Whitnor family of fine watches, since 1866, maker of watches of the highest character. Those are the stakes, and now with the score Minnesota 70, Notre Dame 0, we go back to a toss-up question. Remember, the team answering it correctly gets a chance at a bonus question. Alan Quig.
Thank you, Howard Breed. Okay, here is your toss-up question. Now, on your toes. In the woods of Powhatan, a princess used her royal prerogatives to save the life of a captain. For 10 points, name the princess. Minnesota.
Colleen Helgeson has her hand up.
Okay, Colleen.
Pocahontas.
Pocahontas, right, for 10 points. And Colleen, you want a chance at a 25-point bonus question for the Minnesota team. Now, here it is. The first, fourth, and 24th letter in the alphabet, along with the numeral 2, has caused quite a lot of controversy in scientific circles and some embarrassment to the Republican administration of late. Now, you're going to get 25 points if you can tell us what these three letters and numbers stand for and what's the controversy. Anybody on the Minnesota team?
It was ADX. I forget that last number.
Well, the number...
ADX 4.
ADX 2, that was in the question.
And it was a battery additive.
Yeah.
And the government was buying it, and I think the Bureau of Standards... Or some government bureau that checks up on the value of...
The Commerce Department, Secretary Weeks.
Yeah.
It was under the Commerce Department.
Yeah.
And the head of this Bureau of Standards, who goes about seeing if it's worthwhile, said that it wasn't worthwhile. And its manufacturer said it was, and I think Senator Thai from Minnesota says that American businessmen who are using this know that it's good, and therefore it must be good.
Yeah. So what was the outcome?
Outcome? They found out that it really wasn't good.
Yes.
And it was quite useless. And it didn't help the batteries at all. And
all right. I think you've got the controversy pretty well outlined. Aston was reinstated after this latest finding. You did then understand that the first, fourth, and 24th letter of the alphabet along the numeral 2 referred to the ADX2 battery controversy, okay? And for doing that, Minnesota got 25 points. Okay, here we go back to a toss-up question. Are you ready, Notre Dame?
We're ready.
Are you on your toes? Because here we go. Don't answer that question. For 10 points, what famous Reformation priest-turned-family man wrote the children's Christmas carol, Away in the Manger? Sorry, you answered before I finished the question. You pushed the button, and so I will disqualify the question. It was, of course, Martin Luther who rode away in the manger. Here's another toss-up question. Men have often been made to look like monkeys. Now, for 10 points, how recently did the reverse of this make news? Minnesota.
Tom Clayton.
The Piltdown skull found in England was found to be almost a counterfeit. Only the cranium was actually belonged to prehistoric man. The rest of it belonged to a modern ape.
You put your finger right on it, Tom Clayton, for 10 points. And for doing so, Tom Clayton, you won Minnesota a chance at a 30-point musical bonus question. Now we're going to play three musical numbers which mention exact times of day in their titles. For 10 points each, what time is mentioned in the following titles? First.
I think that's the 1 o'clock jump.
No. Just keep playing it. High noon?
High noon, right for 10 points. Okay, here we go. What time of day is mentioned in this title?
O'clock in the morning.
Oh, well, thank you for getting that one. Okay, now what time of day is mentioned in this one?
Is that the 1 o'clock jump?
That's the 1 o'clock jump. I had an awful time there not saying you think it was. Okay, here we go back to a toss-up question. Are you ready, Notre Dame?
Ready.
All right, here we go. During World War I, a man called Nicky sent a lot of telegrams to a man called Willie. For 10 points, who were Willie and Nicky? Minnesota.
Roger Feinstein.
Nicholas was the Tsar of Russia, yeah. And Wilhelm was the Emperor of Germany.
Kaiser Wilhelm of Germany. You're right for 10 points. For getting it right, Minnesota, you've got a chance at a 20-point bonus. 20 points if you can identify the U.S. Air Force base, which bears the name given by ancient geographers to the northernmost part of the habitable world. You know it? The Air Force base, which has the same name as the name the ancient geographers used to call the northernmost part of the habitable world.
They haven't heard that it was reduced from top secret yet.
Well, you will when I tell you. It's Thule, Greenland. And you may remember that Ultima Thule means end of the world in Latin. Okay, let's go back to a toss-up question. For 10 points, tell us the names of the couple in the famous opera who were married as the result of a singing contest. Notre Dame.
Joe Imbriaco.
And a Meister singer,
the names of the couple. You're right for the opera, but I've got to take it if you don't know the names. Do you know the names, Minnesota?
Yes, Colleen Helgeson has it.
Elizabeth and Walter.
No, I'm sorry. It's Ava and Walter. You would have got it right if you said Ava. Okay, let's go back to a toss-up question. It was from Die Meistersinger by Wagner, though. All right. Here we go back to a toss-up question. Everybody remembers that Dolly Madison saved the Declaration of Independence when the English burned the Capitol. Some say she saved the White House silver. We're going to give you 10 points now if you can tell us what else Dolly saved. Minnesota.
Roger Feinstein.
The portrait of General Washington.
Right. Stuart's portrait of General Washington. 10 points. Okay, you won a 30-point bonus, Minnesota, and I'm going to ask you to complete the following statement. You are to complete the following statements of relationships, so think very carefully, for 10 points. World War II was chronicled by Winston Churchill as the Peloponnesian War was chronicled by whom? What?
Thucydides.
You're right for 10 points. Thucydides.
That was Clayton, by the way.
Tom Clayton. Very good. You remember that? Can you describe that war, Tom, incidentally?
It was a war between the Spartan League and the Athenian League.
That's right. Who lost?
The Spartan League. No, the Athenian League.
The Athenian League, that's right. Okay, here's another statement of relationship. Mona Lisa was to Leonardo da Vinci what the famous Olympia painted in 1863 was to whom?
Manet.
Manet, right. Edward Manet for 10 points. You're up. Now, let me know if you're going to get this one. For 10 points, I want you to complete this statement of relationship. Dialectical materialism was to Karl Marx what hedonistic calculus was to whom?
Jeremy Bentham.
You got it right. You got it right for 10 points. Okay. Hold it, Alan. That's the halftime whistle, which calls for a one-minute timeout. All right, here we go now. With 60 seconds to go, I want to spend 30 seconds talking to you, Colleen, out in Minnesota campus. Because I have heard, my spies out there have told me, Colleen Helgeson, that tonight you're wearing a very attractive corsage. What does it mean?
Well, this corsage is from the Brothers of Sigma Chi, and it's a congratulatory message on my being on the quiz bowl.
Uh-huh. Why would the Brothers of Sigma Chi send you a corsage?
Well, I'm engaged to a Sigma Chi.
Oh, I see. That makes you a sweetheart of the Sigma Chi.
But I'm sitting next to her.
Oh, I... Okay, tell me about the corsage, Colleen. Anything to identify it?
Well, it's made of white roses, and it has blue and gold ribbons, the colors of Sigma Chi.
Very good, and congratulations, Colleen. Now I'd like to move down to South Bend in the Notre Dame campus and talk to Dave Burrell. Because, Dave, I noticed a very interesting fact after your name here. I noticed that you are called a great books major. Now, I'm sure a lot of our friends don't know what that means, and I'd like to have you explain it. What is a great books major at Notre Dame?
Well, the great books program is a four-year program of study integrated about the Western tradition of philosophy, literature, and the natural sciences. And we spend most of our time studying the primary source material. We seldom see a textbook. We spend 4 hours of our study a week in seminars, which are concerned with reading the great books from the Greeks to the moderns in the first 2 years, and then more comprehensively from the Greeks to the moderns in the last 2 years. That's it in a capsule.
Well, that's fine, and I'm very glad...
Okay, Alan, it's time to get back to the quiz. And now with the score, Minnesota 195, and Notre Dame... a sheer unmentionable. Let's get back, and how about another toss-up question?
Okay. You mean the score is zero for Notre Dame? Okay. I would like to tell you before I read the next toss-up question that coming up is a bonus question worth 50 points. It'd do a lot for you, Notre Dame, so let's go. Here we go. Just 52 years ago today, December 12th, the letter S resounded throughout the world. Now, for 10 points, why? Notre Dame.
Dave Burrell.
Was it Morse inventing the telegraph?
Can you take it, Minnesota?
Was it a volcanic eruption?
No, neither one of you can take it. In December 12th, 1901, was the day that Marconi sent the first transatlantic message from England to Newfoundland. And the message consisted in part of three dots, the letter S. Okay, here, let's go with another toss-up question. Coming up yet is a 50-point bonus. Here we go. For 10 points, what nursery rhyme animal went in for interplanetary space travel? Minnesota.
Colleen Helgeson.
That would be the cow that jumped over the moon.
That would be right, Colleen Helgeson. And for getting that nursery rhyme animal, Colleen, you won for Minnesota a chance at a 50-point bonus. Now, the lines of many famous poets have been set to music. Now, here are five well-known songs, and for 10 points each, I want you to tell us what famous poet wrote the words. First of all, Auld Lang Syne.
Burns.
Robert Burns, right for 10 points. The recessional God of our fathers, known of old.
Kipling.
Rudyard Kipling, right for 10 points. Believe me if all those...
Ben Johnson.
No. Thomas Moore.
You're right, Colleen. Believe me if all those endearing young charms was written by Thomas Moore. All right, now for 10 points, tell us what poet wrote the words of the song... Who is Sylvia?
Shakespeare.
Right, from Two Gentlemen of Verona. Right for 10 points. Now, for 10 points more, tell us what poet wrote the words to drink to me only
ben
with
Johnson.
Thine eyes. Ben Johnson. Right for 10 points. Okay, here we go back to a toss-up. Coming up is a 30-point bonus. 30-point musical bonus, incidentally. We've all heard of the daughters of the American Revolution, but for 10 points, we want you now to identify the Sons of Liberty. Minnesota.
Roger Feinstein.
That was an organization in New York at the time of the American Revolution.
All right. Can you tell us any of the members in that organization?
John Jay.
Yep. Okay, we're going to leave it there. You got it right. It is a secret organization that sprung up in the American colonies to protest the Stamp Act, and it included all the colonies. Okay, you got 10 points, Minnesota, and a chance at a 30-point musical bonus. Here is a 30-point bonus question about villains. Now, we're going to play three arias from great operas, each sung by a dyed-in-the-wool villain. You're going to get 10 points each time you identify the villain and the opera. Here we go, first of all.
Credo confermo cuore, si come crede la vedovera
Fabio. What villain is singing that? Well, you'll know it when I tell you. It's the Iago's Creed from Othello by Verdi. I believe in a cruel God. That was Iago, a black villain, if there ever was one. Now, what villain is singing this song from opera?
Oh, up, up, galop, galop. My broomstick nag can do not lag at dawn of day.
The witch
from Hansel and Gretel.
Right for 10 points. The witch from Hansel and Gretel. That was the witch. Hansel and Gretel by Humperdinck. All right. Now, what villain from opera, and what opera, incidentally, is this song?
I would say that was Mephistopheles from Faust.
You would say right, Colleen Helgeson. Here we go to a ten-point bonus question coming up. What two Major League Baseball teams might have been named by an ornithologist? Minnesota.
Jack Davies.
The St. Louis Cardinals and the Toledo Mud Hens.
Is there a Toledo question? No.
Major Leaguer.
Major League. Can you take it, Notre Dame?
Baltimore Orioles.
Right, Notre Dame.
That was Minnesota.
Can you take it, Notre Dame? Can you take it, Notre Dame?
Just Joe Embriaco.
St. Louis Cardinals and the...
Go on. All right, I'm going to throw it out. They gave you the answer, Minnesota Notre Dame. It was the Baltimore Orioles and the St. Louis Cardinals. You remember on a toss-up question, we have only one answer from one member of a team. They gave you the answer there, but I realized that it was a bit confusing. Well, here we go back to another toss-up question. Now, for 10 points, tell us what known Stoic philosopher was also a Roman emperor? Notre Dame.
Dave Burrell.
Marcus Aurelius.
Right for 10 points, Notre Dame. Well, here we go, Notre Dame. You got a chance now at a 40-point bonus. A long list of literary characters have languished in jails, dungeons, and assorted kinds of pokies. Now, for 10 points each, give us the names of the following prisoners of fact and fiction. First of all, the prisoner, the English playwright prisoner who wrote the Ballad of Reading Jail. Notre Dame.
Who wants to do it?
Anybody in the Notre Dame team? The Ballad of Reading Jail.
Oscar Wilde.
Right for 10 points. All right. The American poet prisoner who wrote The Enormous Room. The Enormous Room.
For Edgar Allan Poe?
No. Anybody in the Notre Dame team?
E.E. Cummings.
Right for 10 points, Notre Dame. All right. For 10 more points. The Russian ex-commissar of the people who was an inmate of cell number 404.
Dostoevsky.
Anybody in the Notre Dame team?
Turgenev.
No, I'm sorry. It's Rubishoff from Kessler's Darkness at Noon. All right. For 10 more points, the French doctor who, as a prisoner of the Bastille, spent 18 years as an occupant of number 105 North Tower.
Dr. Manet.
Right. In what book?
This was in Tale of Two Cities.
That would be right for 10 points. And here we go back to a toss-up question. What's the score, Howard?
Well, right now the score is Notre Dame 40, Minnesota 285 with 4 minutes left to play.
Okay, here we go with a toss-up question for 10 points. Tell us. What story with a holiday theme commences with the statement, Morley was dead to begin with? Notre Dame.
Christmas Carol.
What?
Christmas Carol.
Christmas Charles Carol by Dickens. Charles Dickens. Right, Notre Dame, and for that you win a chance at a 35-point bonus question. Here we go. For 15 points, what mythical character gave fire to mankind and was punished by Zeus for 13 years?
Dave Burrell.
What was that?
Prometheus.
Right for 15 points for 13 centuries. I thank you very much. All right, but you got the answer right. Now, for 10 more points, I want you to name a Greek author who created a classical tragedy based on this myth around 470 B.C.
Aeschylus.
Aeschylus is Prometheus Unbound.
Prometheus
Bound. All right, now, in 1820... I kind of jumped my question, didn't I? In 1820, another writer created a lyric drama titled Prometheus Unbound. Now, for 10 points, give me the name of this writer.
Shelley.
Shelley, right, for 10 points, Notre Dame. Okay, here we go back to a toss-up question. Tell us, for 10 points, what was Galileo attempting to prove when he dropped the cannonballs off the leaning tower of Pisa? Minnesota.
Jack Davies.
That unequal weights of equal mass will fall to the ground at an equal rate.
That's right. I couldn't have said it better if I'd read it off the card myself. And you won for Minnesota, Jack Davies, a chance at a 20-point bonus. What sport would I be describing if I said some of them babbled and were disqualified, others were tossed out for running cunning, but even so, two grays were killed and a red cornered? What sport?
Fox hunting.
Fox hunting, right, for 20 points, Minnesota. Babbling. You know what babbling is, incidentally? Who is this, Jack?
I don't know what it is, but it's Jack.
Okay, Jack. Babbling is baying before the scent is picked up, and running cunning is working the wrong trail. Here we go. For 10 points, here's a toss-up question. Tell us, what two pre-adolescents ascended an incline to obtain a vessel of H2O? Minnesota.
Colleen Helgeson.
Jack and Jill.
Right for 10 points, Minnesota. And here you go with a 25-point bonus question. You need your pencils and papers for this one, Minnesota. Anybody on the team work as a team. Now, first of all, it's a mathematical question. You are to start with the date of the Norman conquest of England. And from that number, you are to subtract the number of Beethoven's Pastoral Symphony. Now, divide by the number of peppers, in the series of stories by Harriet Lothrop. Divide by the number of peppers in the series of stories by Harriet Lothrop, and give me your numerical answer. Anybody on the Minnesota team?
212.
Right for 25 points, Minnesota. 1066 was the Norman conquest, of course, minus 6. Which is the number of Beethoven's Pastoral Symphony, divided by 5, which was the number of peppers in the Harriet Lothrop series, equals 212. Okay, here we go back to the toss-up question for 10 points. Is the mythological animal Pegasus omnivorous, carnivorous, or herbivorous? Minnesota.
Colleen Helgeson.
Herbivorous.
Right, he's herbivorous. He's an meat-eating animal, right? He meets both animal and vegetable food. All right, I want you to call out your cook now, Minnesota, because I'm going to read you the ingredients of a souffle, and I want you to find the missing ingredient in the list. Butter, flour, egg yolk, salt, milk, and cheese. Now, what essential ingredient is missing for 20 points in a souffle? Butter, flour, egg yolk...
That's it. Time's up. Sorry, Alan. The game's over for this week.
All right. May I say, though, the missing ingredient was, of course, egg white, which would give the souffle lightness. Okay.
Okay, Alan. And the final score in the College Quiz Bowl tonight is Notre Dame 85 points and 360 points for the winner, Minnesota. To each member of the Notre Dame team, it's our pleasure to award an attractive and defendable Whitnor wristwatch, a distinguished member of the Longines Whitnor family of fine watches. Since 1866, makers of watches of the highest character. For fielding the winning team tonight, Minnesota will receive a $500 gift to be administered by the college. And these varsity scholars from Minnesota will return next week to compete in this new All-American quiz game with the varsity scholars of the University of Georgia. Now here once again is your master of the quiz, Alan Ludden.
Congratulations to Minnesota, and may I say thanks to the Notre Dame team. Tom Calder, John Griffin, Dave Burrell, Joseph Imbriaco. You did a great job. Now... in the weeks to follow, we'll have varsity scholars from Brown University, the University of Michigan, Georgetown University, and other outstanding colleges and universities all over the nation. So, won't you be with us again next week and every week for an exciting quiz game here in the College Quiz Bowl. This is Alan Ludden saying, see you tomorrow on Weekend, and so long, everybody.
Tonight, we're for Notre Dame, Charles Chan of NBC Chicago, and for Minnesota, Ben Layton of station KSTP in Minneapolis. College Quiz Bowl is a transcribed NBC Radio Network production, originated and produced by John Moses and Don Reed, directed by Ken McGregor. Howard Reed speaking.
Tonight, enjoy a salute to the Queen of Roses on the NBC Radio Network.